This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. Our show today focuses on Charlie Hayden and his family and a great new album that's also a big surprise. The surprise is that the jazz bass player Charlie Hayden, who is famous, among other things, for his role in helping start a jazz revolution in the late 1950s with the Ornette Coleman Quartet, has a new CD of country music. It's actually the music he grew up with. The CD features his family and friends. Here's Hayden on bass with vocals by his three daughters, who are triplets. In a few minutes, we'll meet the Hayden triplets, Tanya, Rachel, and Petra, their brother Josh, Tanya's husband, the actor Jack Black, and Charlie's wife Ruth, who co-produced the album. They all sing on the new Charlie Hayden Family and Friends CD. Some of the friends who sing are Roseanne Cash, Elvis Costello, and Ricky Skaggs. They're backed by top Nashville session musicians, including Jerry Douglas and Sam Bush. Joining us first is Charlie Hayden. He was born in Shenandoah, Iowa, in 1937, and 2 years later started singing with his family on their country music radio show. In fact, his new CD, Rambling Boy, features a recording of him singing on the show at the age of two. Here's Charlie Hayden's father introducing Little Cowboy Charlie.
Honey, say good morning to all the little boys and girls. Say hello, all you little boys and girls. Say, I'm just fine. Just fine, and say, I've got a brand new song to sing for you this morning. This morning. There you are. All right. Little Charlie has had so many, many requests to sing that dandy little song, Row Us Over the Tide, and then Mama's going to take him out and get his big bottle of soda pop. So you sing real loud and nice here, and a nice yodel. All right.
Charlie Hayden, welcome to Fresh Air. Charlie, that is just about the most adorable thing I've ever heard, especially the yodel. What goes through your mind when you hear it?
I remember being there, and I remember my mother holding me, and my dad telling me, you know, he's going to go get me a big bottle of soda pop if I sing. And it brings back really wonderful memories to me. And of course, that's a radio show from 1939, which was really edited to get it on the record. We didn't have that much space, so you don't hear the commercials my father was giving, you know, for Waits Green Mountain cough syrup and Sparkle Light cereal and Allstate Insurance and talking to all the listeners out there and all the songs that my brothers and sisters sang. And the song that you hear me singing and yodeling is really cut very short. You don't hear the verse, you just hear the course right before I yodel.
How old do you think you were before you could sing on pitch?
Well, my mom told me this story. She was rocking me to sleep, and I'm 22 months old, and she's humming all these hillbilly songs, and all of a sudden I start humming the harmony, and she said, wow, you're ready for the show.
God, that's so amazing. So, Charlie, would you share one of your favorite memories of your family's country radio show from when you were, you know, a child?
Every day was like a great experience for me. I just loved it. I, you know, when we were in Shenandoah, we were there until I was four, and then we moved to Springfield, Missouri. My dad got a farm near my grandmother's, near his mother's place, and we did our radio show from the farmhouse. And my brothers and sisters would go out and do the chores, milk the cows, and come in, have breakfast, and my dad would crank the phone on the wall to let the engineer in Springfield know that we were ready to go on the air. And we'd do the show, and every day was like a wonder to me. You know, I just loved it. And then we moved to Springfield, and we did all the shows from KWTO Studios, which was, I loved that so much. I couldn't wait to get there. The double glass windows and the acoustic tile and the air conditioning and all the entertainers and, you know, that I met. And, you know, then the people from Nashville started coming into Springfield to do this network radio show similar to the Grand Ole Opry called Corns A-Crackin'. And then, you know, Mother Maybelle and the Carter sisters were coming into Springfield and coming over and visiting my mother. And I got, you know, I was a little kid and Mother Maybelle was singing all these great songs in our living room. And I was just thrilled. It was like, I can't really pinpoint one day. I can just pinpoint the whole thing.
What made you think of doing a family album of your own?
Of course, this music's been inside me since I stopped country music and started in jazz when I was 15. And I have this music in me, inside me, and I have always thought about playing and singing again. I had to stop singing when I was 15 because I had bulbar polio that paralyzed my vocal cords, and that's when I started playing. And when I play jazz, the folk and hillbilly music comes out of me in one way or another in different improvisational ways. And so, you know, my wife Ruth made a point of wanting us to go to visit my mother on her 80th birthday in 1988. She bought plane tickets for all of us. She said, I want the girls to go, I want Josh to go, and us, and a family reunion. And we all went to Kazee Mills, Missouri, which is south of Springfield in the Ozark Mountains. And at one of the gatherings, when my mom made all this great food and homemade donuts, Ruth said, would you guys sing a song? And we all looked at each other like, what? Because we hadn't sung together, my brother and sisters. So we started, we said, what are we going to sing? And Ruth said, nobody could decide. So Ruth said, what about You Are My Sunshine? Because I know everyone knows that. So we started singing You Are My Sunshine, and it was fantastic. And so Ruth said afterwards, she said, you've got to do this. You've got to do a country record. You've got to do a record with your family. It's really essential that you do this.
You grew up, you know, singing in a family act. And I'm sure, like, your parents told you what to sing on stage. Now, managing, you know, like, putting this record together that features your whole family, your four children, your wife, Ruth, what were some of the differences between being, you know, like, the kid in the band, the kid in the family band, and now being, like, the father in the family band?
As I was growing up, I became more and more a part of the family. Preparations for the radio shows. We did two radio shows every day, and then later on, at the end of before my dad got out of the business, we had a television show in Omaha, Nebraska. That's when TV came in, and so I became more and more a part of that, as far as the production of the show. And choosing the material and what songs we were going to do and what songs we wanted to learn. You know, my brothers and sisters, especially Jimmy, my brother who was 5 years older than I, he was a big part of, you know, the repertoire and what we were going to do. And I was very influenced by him and his love of jazz. And that's when I started listening to jazz, when I was just a little kid. With my family, it was like, I wanted to make sure that they were all happy and that they really wanted to do this, and they all did want to do it. And, of course, I hadn't done any country music since I was 15, and I was, you know, a little bit apprehensive and a little bit nervous about whether I could really pull this off. You know, I'm a jazz musician for 50 years, so the first rehearsal we had over at the house with Ruth and the kids, and I was, you know, blown over about how great they were. I mean, they all sang with such great intonation. I played all these Stanley Brothers songs for them and the Carter Family songs and Jimmy Martin, and they just, you know, took to it as if they'd been doing it every day, you know, the girls and Josh.
My guest is jazz bass player and composer Charlie Hayden. His new CD returns to his roots when he sang with his family on their country music radio show. He's joined on the new CD by family and friends. Here's a track featuring his triplet daughters, Tanya, Rachel, and Petra, who have each had careers in indie rock. They'll be with us in a minute.
Single girl.
Single Girl, Married Girl, from the new Charlie Hayden Family and Friends CD, Rambling Boy. And my guests are the three singers who we just heard, triplets Petra, Rachel, and Tanya Hayden. Welcome, all of you, to Fresh Air. Your father, Charlie Hayden, is in the studio with us as well. What beautiful voices you have, and what great harmonies. Did you grow up singing harmonies like that with each other?
Yes, we did.
How did it get started? How did you get started singing harmonies together?
I don't really even know how to answer that. I think we just sang, you know, since we were 10, maybe at summer camp.
I was 10. Younger than that, like 7, 6, 7, 8. We were always singing.
I think I remember it at summer camp.
And what about the song we just heard? Did you choose that song? Charlie, did you choose it?
They chose it. I mean, you were singing
We just thought it would be a given because we've sung it live before, and we know it like we put our socks on.
we've just always liked that song.
Yeah, it's easy, it's fun.
How did you start singing it? It sounds like you've been singing it a long time.
I played a Carter Family record for them one day, and they just loved it, you know, and then I left the room, they took it from there.
You know, it's amazing that you all have such great voices, and of course you grew up in such a musical family. What were you exposed to musically of your father's music, either, you know, his performances on record, concert, or just him playing or practicing around the house?
I remember listening to whatever our dad was listening to. There was always something playing musically, and a lot of jazz, of course.
Classical music and jazz.
But I remember always sitting in our dad's lap, and he would have big, huge headphones on. And I remember, like, tapping him and trying to talk to him, and he'd say, "Just a minute." Because he's listening to something. I'm like, uh-huh. Oh, boy. But, but yeah, well, there was always music playing.
Now, would you mind if I asked you three to just sing something a cappella briefly, just to show us where your harmonies fit with each other? Just a few bars, just like maybe you could kind of chime in one at a time just to hear where all three voices, how all three voices connect.
Sing something from the record.
Yeah. How about, what is the other one that we sing all three of us together?
Well, you sing
it's
Voice from on High. And,
I hear
and,
a voice.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, let's do that one.
Okay, you start it, Petra.
I hear a voice calling. It must be our Lord.
It must be our Lord.
It's coming from heaven on high. I hear a voice calling.
I've gained the reward
in the land where we never shall die.
Oh, that's so great. Do you trade off who sings high and who sings low and who sings in the middle? Do you have similar ranges in your voices?
We trade a lot. Rachel likes to sing the pretty melody part, so a lot of times I get scooted to the bottom without really knowing it.
What was your reaction when your father proposed this CD to you of a family album of country songs?
Finally.
Yeah, we said, about time, let's do it.
Let's do this.
Because we've been thinking about it for a long time, right?
No, we've been talking about it for a long time.
Charlie, when your triplets were born, did you, I don't know if you knew that three were on the way, but when they were born, did you think to yourself, they're all going to sing, they'll sing great harmonies together, and someday I'll record with them?
I knew they were going to be the best singers in the world, and just like Josh too. And I knew that, you know, my family was like that, and I knew my kids were going to be like that. There was no thought about it. It was just going to happen.
We're going to bring in your brother, Josh Hayden, in a couple of minutes and talk about his track on the new family album. First, I want to thank you all, Petra, Rachel, and Tanya Hayden. And while we're playing musical chairs and you're leaving and Josh is coming in, I want to play a track, Tanya, that you recorded for the family album, and it's He's Gone Away. And this is such a beautiful recording. And I know some of these lyrics, the Who Will Tie My Shoes and Who Will Glove My Hands part, but I always heard it as a more like up-tempo, you know, banjo fretting kind of song. And this is a beautiful ballad. Do you know like several different versions of this song?
I've heard faster versions of it, but the version that I've listened to the most is the one by Joe Stafford, and and she sings it pretty slowly too.
Oh, that explains. She's a jazz singer, not a country singer. Yeah,
yeah, and she really belts it out. So I was nervous because I can't. I'm more, you know, of a quiet singer. So,
well, this is gorgeous. So this is Tanya Hayden. He's Gone Away, and Bruce Hornsby's at the piano, from the new Charlie Hayden Family and Friends album. This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross, back with Charlie Hayden and members of his family. Hayden, who is one of the most important bass players in the history of jazz, returns to his country roots on his new CD, Rambling Boy. He grew up in the 1930s and 40s, singing on his family's country music radio show. His new CD features vocals by his wife, his children, and friends. One of the friends is Bruce Hornsby. Here's Hornsby's vocal track, 2020 Vision.
I've been to the doctor, he says I'm all right. I know he's lying, I'm losing my sight. He should have examined the eyes of my mind. 2020 vision, walking around mine. Since she's left me, I feel so alone. Carry a heart that is heavy as stone. Knew she cheated, I knew all the time. 20-20 vision and walking round by.
That's Bruce Hornsby singing on a track from the new CD by Charlie Hayden, Family and Friends. Joining Charlie Hayden and me is his son Josh, who sings on the CD. Josh is also the lead singer of the indie rock band Spain. Josh, you're the oldest of the Hayden children. What are some of your earliest musical family memories?
Probably my earliest musical memory is seeing my dad practice his bass in the living room of our old apartment in New York.
And what impact did it have on you?
It most likely made me want to be a musician when I grew up.
Now, the song you sing on the Hayden Family CD is an original, a song you wrote called Spiritual. And Johnny Cash recorded it. He did a great version of it on his CD Unchained, one of the sessions he recorded late in life. How did Johnny Cash end up recording the song that we will soon hear you sing?
I think that at the time, Rick Rubin was producing the record for Johnny Cash, and Rick Rubin liked the song and presented it to Johnny Cash, who liked it. And that's how that happened.
So, Charlie, did you know Johnny Cash from your family radio days as a child?
No, that's one person I didn't know. My dad knew him. And, you know, Hank Williams, a lot of the guys that were a long time, you know, in the 30s, I didn't know. And but Johnny Cash I listened to and loved very much. And I'm really glad that I was able to get Roseanne to come and sing on this record.
Right, because she's featured on it. Must have meant a lot to you to hear Johnny Cash recording your son's song.
It was a natural because the guy is such a great singer, and he has this range which is very low. And but I was kind of worried that he wouldn't make the high part. And when I heard the recording, it was just unbelievable. I've never heard him sing in that range before. He goes, the highest I've ever heard him sing before. And it was just really moving.
Josh, this is a song about, you know, it's a plea to Jesus that you don't want to die alone. Did this song come out of religious belief, or is it more of a character song writing about somebody else?
I think it's a little of both. When I wrote the song about maybe 15 years ago, when I decided that I wanted to be a serious songwriter, and I kind of wrote it as an experiment in storytelling. And I think out of all the songs I've written, that's the one that resonates the most with people. So I really like that song.
Charlie, tell us what you're doing on bass behind your son.
I'm just trying to make everything, you know, sound complete. That's what I do when I play with anyone. And I'm just following Josh, following the song.
Well, let's hear Joshua Hayden singing his song Spiritual with his father Charlie Hayden on bass. And while we listen to this, we're going to bring in Ruth Cameron, Charlie's wife, and then we'll hear the track that she sings on the new CD. And this, again, is from the new CD, Charlie Hayden, Family and Friends, Ramblin' Boy.
Jesus, I don't want to die alone. Jesus, oh Jesus, I don't want to die alone. My love wasn't true. Now all I have is you. Jesus, oh Jesus, I don't want to die alone.
That's Joshua Hayden singing his song Spiritual from Charlie Hayden's new CD, Charlie Hayden, Family and Friends. And, of course, we heard Charlie Hayden on bass. And joining us now with Charlie Hayden is his wife, Ruth Cameron, who sings a track on the CD. Ruth, thank you for being here. And
pleasure.
I want to ask you about the track that you sing on the CD.
Mm-hmm.
It's called Down by the Sally Garden.
Right.
Tell us how you chose this track.
Well, the thing that, there are several things that really impress me. I love poetry, and Of course, William Butler Yeats wrote the lyrics, and he took it from old Irish tales that had been handed down throughout the years and fashioned the lyric as he imagined an Irish folk song to be. And then it was put to music, I think, after that. And it has something very special in the lyric for me about, you know, how we waste our youth. And, you know, it's a shame we didn't have the same wisdom when we were younger.
Well, why don't we hear it? This is Ruth Cameron singing Down by the Sally Garden with her husband Charlie Hayden on bass from the new CD, Charlie Hayden, Family and Friends, Ramblin' Boy.
Down by the Sally Gardens, my love and I did meet. She crossed the Sally Gardens with little snow white feet. The leaves grow on the tree, but I was young and foolish, and with her did not agree. In a field down by...
Charlie, the last track on your CD is you singing. And people who have followed your career know that although you sang as a boy with your family on their country music radio show, polio affected your voice and your vocal cords and stopped you from singing. But a few years ago, you recorded a track again, Wayfair and Stranger, and you sing again on the final track on this CD. And the song is Shenandoah, which is also the name of the place where you were born. This kind of tears me up every time I hear it. Tell me why you chose this song as the one that you would sing on the CD and what the song means to you.
It means a tribute to my parents who were traveling around the United States before I was born, auditioning on all the big radio stations with my brothers and sister. And they were on their way to Des Moines, Iowa to do an audition. And there was a blizzard, and they stopped in Shenandoah at a motel. And while we were there, my dad went over to the radio station in Shenandoah and auditioned and got the job. And they stayed in Shenandoah for 4 years, and that's where I was born. And that's where I started singing with them. And the two rare times I've sung since, you know, I've been in contemporary music is The Wayfair and Stranger, which was with Quartet West and Shirley Horn and strings, and then this time, and they were both a tribute to my parents. I don't sing these songs as a singer. I sing it in tribute and thanking my mom and dad for making this music and creating this music and my being a part of it and it being inside my soul. And I want to thank them, you know, whenever I can thank them. And this is the way that I can thank them because I know they hear this. They hear this, so.
You know, I always say that you're the most melodic and emotional bass player I've ever heard. And I think that that must have something to do with the fact that you grew up with this, that you grew up with melody and harmony and songs about life and death and love and loss. I mean, that's just, it's so deep inside of you.
Yes, the music, you know, both of the indigenous art forms and music that come to the United States, you know, hillbilly music and folk music came over from England and Scotland and Ireland into the Appalachian Mountains and the Ozark Mountains where I was raised. And then my attraction to jazz was, of course, the struggle of the African slave and the Underground Railroad, the music that evolved from that struggle. It seems like, you know, beautiful music, if it's from the United States or wherever it is, it can be from Bulgaria, it can be from Spain, it comes from a struggle, you know, of people either in poverty or trying to a struggle for freedom. And so this music is very, very melodic. It's filled with wonderful chords and voicings and harmonies. And I grew up with these harmonies, and I'm so lucky because this was my early musical education, and I feel very fortunate.
Just one more thing about your singing. I know there's a long period when you physically couldn't sing because of the polio that you got when you were young. When you sing now, what does it feel like physically to sing?
It's very difficult for me because intonation is one of the priorities in my life, is to play the music in tune, and I don't use my voice every day the way a lot of singers do, you know, who are professional singers. When I did The Wayfarer and Stranger, I hadn't sung in 40 years or whatever, you know, since I was 15, and I didn't practice, you know, and so I got in the studio and just sang, and it was, I think I did one take or maybe two, and on Shenandoah, I was kind of nervous because I wanted to be in tune, and then I started thinking, you know, I'm doing this for Mom and Dad. I'm not doing this, you know, to be a great singer. I just want to do this, and so I just relaxed and did it. But
well, I find it incredibly moving, and I'm so glad that you sang it. So let's hear Charlie Hayden singing Shenandoah from his new CD, Charlie Hayden, Family and Friends. And Charlie, it's just been great to have you back on the show and to talk with your family. Thank you so very much.
Thank you, Terry, so much for inviting us.
Oh, Shenandoah, I long to see you away.
Back for an encore. Charlie Hayden continues to be here with me, and joining us is Jack Black. And if you're wondering, why is Jack Black a part of this project? Jack Black, yes, the actor Jack Black, is married to one of Charlie's daughters, Tanya Hayden, and Jack sings on the CD. He sings Old Joe Clark, as you're going to hear momentarily. Jack Black, welcome to Fresh Air.
Thank you.
What was it like for you to marry into the Charlie Hayden family? I don't know if you knew his music beforehand.
Yeah. Well, I was not really well versed in the world of jazz.
No, because you're Mr. School of Rock.
Exactly. I was more of a rocker, although I did have an obsession with Bobby McFerrin, the jazz vocalist.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, so I was a little nervous because I knew that Tanya's father was a great jazz musician, and I kind of gave myself a crash course in jazz before I asked for her hand, because I wanted him to think I was worthy.
So what did you study up on before?
Well, I watched that documentary. You know that 10-hour documentary on jazz by
Ken Burns.
Well, yeah, Ken Burns. I was going to say Ed Burns, but that would have been wrong. Yeah, just listened to a bunch of Charlie's old albums, and And now I'm an expert. Now I could teach a class in it.
Charlie, what's it been like for you to have Jack Black in the family since he's such a movie celebrity now?
You know, I didn't know about his celebrity when Tanya introduced us.
Wait a minute. You were supposed to study his movies before allowing your daughter to marry him.
I didn't have a chance. She called us one day and she said, I'm bringing my friend over and I want you to meet him. And he's an actor. And I said, great. What's his name? And she said, Jack Black. And I said, wow, that's nice. And she said, he was in The School of Rock. And I said, oh, that was a movie. And she said, Dad, you didn't see The School of Rock. And I said, Tanya, you're talking to your dad here. I don't go to movies like School of Rock. And so he came over, and I was so impressed with his love for Tanya and his depth as a human being. And I just love him, man. And I'm really glad he's in the family. And I wanted to put him on this record. The way it happened was that I brought the finished product over to Tanya and Jack's house, and there was an instrumental, and we listened to it, and when we got to the old Joe Clark instrumental, Jack said, what's that song? And I said, that's an old folk song called Old Joe Clark. And he said, does it have words? And I said, yeah, it's got great words. He said, you know, isn't this a family affair? And I said, you ain't kidding, because I was afraid to ask him, really. You know, I was a little... And he said, well, I want to sing that. I said, that is fantastic.
Yeah. I know it seems like that's the whole reason I got married to Tanya, was that I wanted to be on the family album, but that's not the case. That was just icing on the cake.
Is the first time you've sung a bluegrass song?
Yeah, I had not tried it before, so I was actually a little nervous to jump into a new genre of music. But once we got there to the recording studio, and you sang me the part that I would be singing, and I felt like I was possessed by some old ancestors of mine. I felt like my roots came out. And,
that's right.
You know what I mean? I was like, I even sounded different, like a different. Character I was singing as.
Exactly. And at the end of some of them, you said, yee-haw!
Exactly.
Well, I wish we had more time. Thank you so much for talking with us. And Charlie, congratulations again on the new CD. It's really wonderful. Jack
thank
Black,
so
Charlie
much,
Hayden,
Sherry.
Thank you. And here's thank Jack you. Black's recording on Charlie Hayden's new CD, Charlie Hayden Family and Friends, Ramblin' Boy. So here's Jack Black singing Old Joe Clark with, of course, Charlie Hayden on bass.
Yeehaw! Wish I had a nickel, wish I had a dime, wish I had a pretty little girl to kiss and call her mine. I went down to old Joe Clark's, it didn't mean no harm. He grabbed up his .44 and shot me through the arm. Fare thee well, old Joe Clark, fare thee well, I say. Fare thee well, old Joe Clark, I'm going way to stay. Fare thee well, old Joe Clark, fare thee well, I say. Fare thee well, old Joe Clark, I'm going way to stay.
Earlier this year, because of the TV writer's strike, CBS viewers got the opportunity to watch a slightly edited version of the first season of Dexter, the Showtime cable drama starring Michael C. Hall as serial killer Dexter Morgan. Sunday night, Showtime begins the third season of Dexter, and our TV critic David Bianculli says it's one of the best dramas you'll see all season anywhere on television.
If any one TV show ends up benefiting the most from last season's writer's strike, it may be Dexter. The show, in which Michael C. Hall plays a serial killer good guy who hunts down and slaughters serial killer bad guys, is the highest-rated drama series in the history of Showtime. But that's still only somewhere between 1 and 2 million viewers. When CBS repeated season one of Dexter to fill primetime during the strike, those rebroadcasts of Dexter drew about 8 million viewers weekly, a great advertisement for people to subscribe to Showtime. Another great promotion is the recently released DVD set of Season 2 of Dexter, allowing new converts to get up to speed. However you get there, and fast. Season 3 of Dexter starts Sunday and almost instantly sets up the kind of nonstop TV tension familiar to fans of The Shield. But first, the new season of Dexter starts with a false sense of serenity. At work, where he's a blood spatter expert for the Miami Police Force, Dexter is handing out donuts and feeling safe. Off duty, Dexter is with his girlfriend and her kids, faking a normal relationship as best he can, with every scene bathed in happy sunlight or the afterglow of passionate sex. Once again, he's gotten away with murder. Actually, he's gotten away with murders. And he's so happy, he decides to celebrate. He targets another victim and sets out to kill him. Except something goes wrong, and Dexter kills someone else instead. That someone turns out to be the brother of the district attorney, played by new season-long guest star Jimmy Smits. As Dexter tries to discover why the brother was in the wrong place at the wrong time, the district attorney, questioning Dexter at the crime scene, listens to Dexter's interpretation of the blood evidence, then poses a question of his own.
Well, one more thing, Mr. Morgan. Why would a blood spatter analyst spend time searching the sheriff department's database for information on my dead brother?
Like you, sir, I wanted to understand what happened here. I thought that knowing some details about your brother's life helped me make sense out of his death.
In your line of work, Mr. Morgan, is it usual for you to get so involved? I just sounded like a prosecutor there. I'm sorry.
It's not a problem, sir. And no, it's not usual for me to get so involved. But this one, this death, got to me.
This sudden death, the first unplanned murder committed by Dexter, sets everything in a frenzied motion. One cop on the force, Dexter's foster sister Deborah, played by Jennifer Carpenter, is handed the case, so she sets out on the trail of the killer, unaware that she's hunting down her own brother. The district attorney launches an investigation of his own, and Dexter has to stay ahead of both of them and tie up some loose ends. Tie them up and maybe kill them. And yet this isn't Dexter's only big problem this season. His father issues come back to haunt him big time in ways that are best kept a surprise. But in juggling all of this, Dexter is struggling with his feelings, and he usually doesn't have them. This time, though, he has some guilt and some anxiety and even a taste of what other people might call happiness. Hall portrays all of this magnificently. Dexter almost always puts up a false mask, at work, in bed. And Hall, with his subtle but telling expressions and body language, lets us see through the cracks. We hear his true thoughts as narration, but the only time we see the real Dexter, it seems, is when he's trapped another killer and is about to take his life. This is a TV character worth embracing? Most definitely. And he's not alone. The entire Miami precinct is filled with characters that are well fleshed out and have issues and ambitions of their own. This season, an internal affairs officer begins sniffing around, another page from the playbook of The Shield, and that looks to be a great subplot, too. I know this is the official fall premiere week, when the broadcast networks are trying to get attention by rolling out many of their new and returning shows. But this week, for me, the best hour of first-run TV is on Showtime, with Dexter. As lean-forward-in-your-seat TV dramas go, it's a real killer.
David Bianculli is TV critic for TVWorthWatching.com and teaches TV and film studies at Rowan University. You can download podcasts of our show on our website, freshair.npr.org.